Did you notice a common denominator in the testimonies that we heard tonight? They didn't get saved listening to somebody preach on five ways to be a better you. Seven steps to prosperity. And I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but I noticed the one common denominator. Somebody was preaching on sin. Somebody's preaching on hell. Somebody was telling somebody they need to get born again. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned singing still gets the job done. It ain't broken, don't try to fix it for me. Some folks may be done with it, I ain't done with it yet. I ain't planning on it either. 1 Kings chapter number 22. It's what I call a buckshot message. We're just going to walk down through there and we're just going to get everything along the way. 1 Kings chapter number 22. We'll begin reading in verse number 2. If I asked you tonight, I said, do you know the prophet that stood down 400 prophets of Baal? Everybody jump up and say, yeah, Elijah did that. And you'd be right. If I ask you tonight, who's the other one? How many of us could answer? Because there was another one. There was another prophet that had enough guts to stand down 400 false prophets. And we're going to look at him tonight. His name is Micaiah. And we're going to see some things God would have for us. Let's begin reading in verse number 2. It says, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Now I'm going to stop right there and we'll pray. Father, we love you. God, it's been good to be here already. We thank you for the good singing. God, we thank you for the old songs and, God, the message that's in them. And Father, we just ask now you bless the preaching of your word tonight. God, just take me and fill me with your spirit that I might only say what needs to be said. God, nothing that doesn't. You know the hearts. You read them before they ever walked in this building. You know what needs to happen. And Father, I pray that it would. God, I pray things of eternal value would take place here in this place tonight. And God, you'd speak to hearts and you'd meet needs. And Father, when it's all said and done, we'd be able to look back and say, it sure has been good tonight to be in the house of the Lord. All these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake, and amen. Now, I do realize it is Super Bowl Sunday, and Brother Ronnie and I have agreed as long as we get back in time to see the halftime show, that's all we're worried about. As long as we get to see Madonna and Lady Gag or Gaga or whatever her name is, you know, we're good with that. Doesn't matter to us who wins the game. Verse number, see, that's what happens in a buckshot message. You just go everywhere. Let me set up verse number 3. He looks and he says, know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? You see, what happened was Ahab went to war against Syria. And God gave him specific instructions. Take no prisoners. Spare no person. And what Ahab did, instead of following and doing what God commanded him to do, Ahab cut a deal with the king of Syria. King of Syria said, I tell you what, if you'll spare my life, I'll give you this property. I'll give you this land. And so instead of doing what God told him to do, he cuts a deal with the king of Syria. And the king of Syria welches on his deal. And Ahab says, hey, this is ours. I cut a deal with this guy. He's supposed to give it to me. Watch what happens in verse number 4. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Joseph said to the king of Israel, now I want you to watch closely how Jehoshaphat responds, because this is going to come back and get him in a little while. Watch what he says. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people as thy people. My horses as thy horses. In other words, he looks at one of the most wicked people on planet Earth and he says, Ahab, I want to be just like you. Now, my friend, that's going to come back and get him. And any time we idolize people that we ought not, and any time we set people up on pedestals that have no business being there, and with all due respect, we got a few of them on a football field tonight. Got the morals of an alley cat, but our kids got their posters all over their bedroom wall. And here he says, I want to be just like you. And when we idolize the heathens and we idolize the pagans, it's going to come back and get us sometime. In fact, I was talking to my wife and my daughter the other night, and I said, you ever notice no pastor ever asks a losing coach to come and speak to his people? What does winning football games have to do with being spiritual? What does winning ball games have to do with walking with God? You never see him invite, hey, he's lost the last 35 games, but we like to welcome to the pulpit Mr. Soul. You never see that. It's always a coach that wins. As if winning, I'm not saying that a coach can't be a Christian, but we have this idea, if they have success on a ball field, for some reason that they're spiritual people. Watch what happens in verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, verse number 5 should have been when verse number 4 is. Verse number 4 should have been when verse number 5 is. In other words, when Ahab said, hey, you want to go with me down to the battle? First thing out of Jehoshaphat's mouth should have been, let's pray about it. Let's pray about this thing. Because more than likely, Jehoshaphat already knew this guy ain't even supposed to be alive. This king isn't even supposed to be there. And so basically what he does is he gives the answer and then he decides he wants to pray about it. Kind of like the man that got called to a church in Hawaii. He looked at his wife and said, you pray, I'll pack. I mean, he already knew what he wanted to do. And I found out a long time ago in the ministry, everybody that comes and wants counsel really doesn't want counsel. Everybody that comes and asks me a question really doesn't want the answer. They just want me to agree with what they've already decided to do. And Jehoshaphat gives the answer, and now he's going to decide to pray about it. Watch what happens in verse number 6. It said, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, let me tell you something about these 400 prophets. Back in my day, we used to call them yes men. These guys are so far down in Ahab's hip pocket that they can't even see daylight. The only reason that they exist is to tell Ahab what he wants to hear. See, a lot of times what you'll see in the New, you'll see a truth in the New Testament that's played out in living color in the Old Testament. And the Bible says in the New Testament that there would come a time where they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There would come a time when people in our churches would bring people behind their pulpit to tell them only what they want them to hear. And Ahab has surrounded himself with a bunch of false prophets because he just wants them to tell him what he already wants to hear. And they know what he wants. He wants Ramoth Gilead. They know that he wants to go down there. And so he says, shall I go? They said, oh yeah, go for it. But what Ahab doesn't realize is that those 400 yes men are about to get him killed. Those 400 men that he has surrounded himself with are about to send him down into a battle he's got no business being in. And he's not going to make it out alive. Well, watch what happens in verse number 7. It says, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Something just didn't jee-haw with those 400 prophets with Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat kind of goes back and forth through this story. He makes some good decisions and he makes some bad ones. 400 guys said, go. Jehoshaphat said, something not right about these guys. Something's just not clicking with me. He said, Ahab, I know there's 400 guys that just told you to go, but you got anybody else we can talk to about this? Something's not right, Ahab. And watch his answer in verse number 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Watch what he says about him. But I hate him. That's a pretty strong word right there. I mean, when you say you hate somebody, I mean, that's a pretty stout word. For Ahab to sit back and say, I hate the man of God. I hate God's prophet. I cannot stand to see this guy even walk into a room. I hate him. Now, what in the world did Micaiah do to Ahab that caused him to hate him so much? Well, look at the rest of the verse. He says, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. You know why Ahab hated Micaiah? Because he told him the truth. You know why Ahab couldn't see Micaiah walk into a room? Because he knew he's going to tell me what God says. He's going to tell me the truth. And he couldn't stand him. Sad part about it, the only person that cared enough about Ahab to tell him the truth, the only person that truly loved Ahab enough to tell him this is what God said, Ahab hates this guy. Oh, it's a sad day when we see people hate people. The only people that truly love them enough to tell them what God says. But then watch what Jehoshaphat says. Last part of verse number 8, Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Can I tell you something? Right there is where Jehoshaphat should have turned around and went right back from when he came from. Brother, when somebody stands there and tells you they hate the preacher, when somebody stands there and tells you they hate the man of God, when somebody stands there and says, I can't stand that preacher, that is not the guy you need to be hanging around. The critical crowd is always going to get you messed up. The critical crowd is always going to mess you up. I can think of a young man right now. When I was pastoring, he loved me and I loved him. I still love him. And I mean, that young man was growing in grace, and I mean, he was getting victory over some things. And I mean, I was watching him move forward in his Christian life. And then one Sunday, I was standing there. He walked through, walks right by, doesn't say a word to me. I thought, all right. I didn't think a whole lot about it. And I came up on the platform getting ready to preach, and I turned around and I noticed he wasn't sitting where he normally does. You know where he was sitting? With the critical crowd. Sitting with the crowd that always had something to say. And it wasn't ever good. Talking about the crowd that had the preacher for dinner every day but never invited him to his house. You know what I'm talking about? And it wasn't too long that young man no longer went to that church. In fact, he still doesn't go to church. See, the critical crowd will get you fouled up. Can I tell you, when folks start to criticize, that is not the group of people you need to be talking. In fact, can I help some of y'all solve that? Let me tell you how a friend of mine solved that. They were somewhere, he was in a service somewhere, and I think he was preaching somewhere, and this guy was coming through, and I mean, he just wanted to just talk about his pastor. And he said, you know, pastor does this and this and this and this and this. And he said, well, I mean, really? Are you? He said, I'm absolutely serious. It's most ridiculous. And he grabbed him by the hand and said, let's go talk to him about it right now. He said, that man jerked his hand out of mine so fast it left a rope burn in my palm. Somebody starts talking to you about somebody, say, well, let's go talk to him about it right now. That'll fix it. Watch what happens in verse number 9. I told you we was getting everything. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imla. Ahab didn't want to do this. If Ahab could have convinced Jehoshaphat to go without calling Micaiah, that's exactly what he would have done. He hates this guy. He didn't want to hear from this guy. He could care less what God has to say. Verse number 10, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before him. Watch him in verse number 11. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenana, made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. I want you to see what's going on. They're putting on a show. Zedekiah looks good. Zedekiah sounds good, but he's telling him a bold-faced lie. Zedekiah's about to get Ahab killed. It all looks good and it all sounds good, but it doesn't match up with what God says. And can I tell you, there's a lot of stuff out there that looks good. There's a lot of stuff out there that sounds good. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There's a lot of guys standing in the pulpit can make it sound real good, but it doesn't match up with what the Bible says. Verse number 13. I like this part. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. In other words, he says, Micaiah, can't we all just get along? Micaiah, do you have to just cut cross grain another time? Micaiah, can you not just go with the flow one time in your ministry? Can you not just back up just a little bit on some of this stuff? Can you not come off of it just a little? 400 guys just told him it's all right. Micaiah, can you please, just for the sake of peace, just get along with everybody one time in your life? Can I tell you, there's all sorts of excuses for us to compromise. But watch what Micaiah says in verse number 14. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. You know what Micaiah said? I don't give a rip what those 400 guys said. I don't care what they said. The only thing I care about is what God has to say. And I'd rather 400 false prophets be against me and God be for me than God be against me and the entire world be for me. I'd rather set myself in opposition to the entire world than set myself in opposition against God. He said, I don't care what the majority may rule, but they ain't always right. Micaiah says, what God says is what I'm going to say. Verse number 15, watch what happens. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we, now I mean, you just know he's drawing up when he's asking him this. Shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? Now watch Micaiah's answer. And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You say, now, Brother Gwynn, why did Micaiah answer that way? Because he knew Ahab. You see, Micaiah knows the only reason that I've been brought out here is because Jehoshaphat wants to hear from somebody besides these guys. And Ahab, you've already got your mind made up what you're going to do. You could care less what God says. You could care less what God has to say. You're going to do it or bust, Ahab. So you know what? You might as well just, because it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what God says. Ahab, I know you, and you're going to do whatever you want to do. So you just go on and do it. Watch what happens in verse number 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true? in the name of the Lord. He says, go ahead and tell me the truth, Micaiah. He said, go ahead and tell me what God's put on your heart. So Micaiah does in verse number 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Who's the shepherd in this story? The shepherd is the king of Israel. And he says, I saw all Israel scattered without a shepherd. In other words, he puts it to him this way. He says, Ahab, you go down there to battle, you're a dead man. Ahab, you go to Ramoth Gilead, you will not make it out alive. That's the truth. Verse number 7 or verse number 18, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? I told you so. I told you he hates me. Every time I go, he only preaches on sin. Every time I go, he has something negative to say. Never anything positive. I never feel good when I leave. Can I help some of y'all tonight? Church isn't designed to make you happy. It's designed to make you holy. I ain't here to make you happy, with all due respect, but I am here to help get you holy. And here Ahab is, he looks at Jehovah whining like a three-year-old. I told you he hates me. Verse number 19. Micaiah wasn't done. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? You see, Ahab already had a death sentence on him. Ahab had already killed Naboth for his vineyard. Ahab had God's death sentence over him. God said, I'm done with it, Ahab. And because of that, he says, I'm going to take you out. Watch what happens again, verse number 19. He says, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Verse number 22, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? Watch this. And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Man, I love Micaiah. Because nobody else, half Baptist you talk to never heard of this guy. But here's Micaiah looking in the face of the king and he says, I want to say a couple things. Number one, if you go down there, you're a dead man. And all you 400 guys, you ain't nothing but a bunch of liars. Man, what guts. Standing there by himself. He's not standing there with a group of prophets. He's hanging out there all by himself. Tells the king, you're dead. Tells the 400 prophets they're a bunch of liars. The lying spirit has been put in their mouth. That's why I talk, some of these folks, oh man, boy, I mean the spirit was moving in our little church and this one was doing this and this one was doing that. Boy, the spirit was moving. My question is, what spirit? Not every spirit is a Holy Spirit. That's what it says here in 1 Kings 22. There was a lying spirit that got in the mouth of 400 prophets. And persuaded the king to go down to a battle where he was going to die. I don't deny that folks don't do things in the spirit. My question is, what spirit are you doing them in? Because if it contradicts this book, it ain't the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you saw. I don't care what you felt. I don't care what you thought you saw. If it contradicts this book, it's not the Holy Spirit of God. He will never go outside this book. If you can't validate it here, you ain't got an experience. Verse number 25, or verse number 24. But Zedekiah, the son of Shenanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek slapped him in the face and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak to thee?" Not only is this guy a lying prophet, this guy thinks he's the only one that can say anything. I mean, Zedekiah almost sounds like a Baptist preacher, doesn't he? God can't speak through you because he can only speak through me. Which way went the Spirit out of me that he might talk through you? Verse number 25, and Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in the day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber and hide thyself." And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction, with the water of affliction, until I come in peace." Now, this may come as a great shock to some of you, but some folks aren't always going to get all that excited when you tell them the truth. Some people are not going to come up and put their arm around you and hug you and say, "Brother, I sure do appreciate you telling me the truth today." Micaiah got slapped in the face, and then he gets put in prison. Now, folks, I hope it never happens. If it ever does, I'm going to need a truckload of grace. But, I mean, I've never been slapped in the face. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I've had some people say something to me. As far as I'm concerned, they might as well slap me in the face. I believe it would have hurt less. And you know what I did? I just told them the truth. That's all I did. Didn't say anything angry. Didn't say anything hateful. I just said, "This is what God says." And had them say some things that we're not kind. But watch what happens in verse number 28. In fact, Paul, what did Paul say? He said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" The people that once loved him, the people that he once pastored, have now set themselves in opposition against him. Why? Because they were beginning to believe different things, and Paul was sticking by the gospel. And they didn't like him, and they criticized him. And he said, "Am I your enemy now? For no other reason than telling you the truth?" In verse number 28, watch what Micaiah does. And Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." Now, a lot of times we walk right over that and we don't understand what Micaiah just did. Micaiah was a prophet. How many times did a prophet have to be wrong before he was branded a false prophet? One time. That's it. A prophet of God, you see, God, the prophets spoke for God. They had to be right 100% of the time. When you heard a prophet, it was like opening up this book and reading. What, accurate 100% of the time. If they were wrong one time, they were a false prophet, and they could take them out and stone them to death. And watch what Micaiah does. He said, "If you come back at all, then God hasn't spoken by me." He says, "Micaiah, if you come back in peace, I'm a false prophet, and you can take me out there and kill me if you want to." Micaiah was sticking by the book. And he was willing to put it all on the line because what God said. Now watch what happens in verse number 29. We'll bring this thing to a close. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. See, Ahab could care less. Ahab didn't want to hear the truth. He already had his mind made up what he wanted to do. I told somebody one time, I mean, they were getting into it or, you know, with somebody on Facebook about something. And I understand, I mean, that can take place and that's fine. Finally, I told them, I said, "Look, don't confuse them with the Bible. They got their mind made up. And they already know what they believe." Verse number 30. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes." And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Man, what a friend is he. Who did Micaiah say was going to die on the battlefield? The king. Who did Micaiah say wasn't coming back alive? The king. So what does Ahab do? He looks at Jehoshaphat and said, "You know, I'm not going to look like a king today. I'm just going to dress like just a regular guy. But I tell you what, bud, you go ahead and put on your robes. And you go ahead and dress. See, this is what happens when you start hanging around people that you ought not be hanging around with. They'll hang you out to dry in a heartbeat. Prodigal son had a truckload of friends as long as he had a truckload of money. But when his money ran out, so did his friends. And here Ahab is, well, if there's a king going to be killed on the battlefield, might as well be you and not me. It's kind of like when I grew up and or a part of it in Southern California, and we'd swim in the ocean. We had what we called the buddy system. If a shark came up, throw him your buddy. While he's working on him, you can make it back to shore. Ahab's using the buddy system. Go ahead, Jehoshaphat. I'd rather it be you than me. But I want you to see what Ahab does. He disguises himself. Why does Ahab disguise himself? There's two things. Number one, Ahab believed Micaiah. He hated him, but he knew he was telling him the truth. He couldn't stand to see him, but he knew he has told me the truth. Folks, now I don't try to set myself at odds with anybody on purpose. But folks, when somebody goes out that door, I'd rather them hate me and know that I've told them the truth than walk out that door and be my buddy and me never say anything to them that I'm supposed to say. He knew Micaiah was telling him the truth. But here's the problem. He thought he could get away with it. Micaiah said, Ahab, you're going to die. And so what does Ahab do? He disguises himself to go into the battle. He heard the truth of the word of God. He believed the truth of the word of God. But he thought that he could get around it. He thought, well, I can do an end around on what God has said. My friend, I want you to know there are people all over. I've preached to them time and time and time. They hear the truth of the Word of God. They even believe the truth of the Word of God. But they walk out the door because they think they can get away with it. Preacher, I know, but. And I know that I'm lost, but. And I know that I need to get right with God, and I know that I need to get saved, and I know that I need to do this, and I know that I need to quit doing these things, but, and they walk and they believe what God says, but for some reason they think that they can get away with it. We think that we can do the same thing, go down the same road that somebody else has, and for some strange reason arrive at a different destination than what they did. We can get involved in the same garbage and still come out clean. And so he disguises himself. Verse number 31, it says, but the king of Syria commanded his 30 and 2 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. You remember what Jehoshaphat said at the beginning of this story? Ahab, I want to be just like you. Well, guess what? He got his wish because they think he's Ahab. They think that's who it is. And they're coming after him to kill him. Verse number 32 again, it says, they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Thank God for a merciful God. Can I tell you, there's been some times in my life I've made some stupid decisions, but God in his mercy has helped me out. I mean, I dealt with some consequences, but they weren't near as bad as they could have been, my friend. They weren't near as bad as they should have been. Here Jehoshaphat makes some bad decisions along this story, and here he cries out to God. God's merciful to him. They realize it's not Ahab, because that's all they wanted. And they turned and they went the other direction. Watch what happens in verse number 34, and we're done. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. That means he wasn't even aiming at anything. He just shoots it into the crowd. And it smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Folks, I want you to understand something. There is no person, there is no family, there is no church, there is no nation that's going to go against what God says and get away with it. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. You are not going to cut cross grain with this book and get away with it. You will not do an end around on the Word of God. God said what He means, and He means what He says. And there's not a person on planet Earth that's going to step over this book and get away with it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Compromise is a slippery slope. Once you start, you can't tell me where you're going to stop. Brother Gwen, we're only going to do this. No, you won't. Well, Brother Gwen, we're only going to do... You don't know that. Folks, understand this book right here, and I don't mean to be disrespectful by laying it in the floor, but folks, there's a boundary here. There's a reason for that. Inside the boundary, there's some protection. But my friend, anytime you step over the book and you start operating in this area out here, anything goes. You're not going to tell me, well, I'm just going to go to this point, or I'm just going to go. You have no idea how far you're going to go. Once you start, you have absolutely no idea how far you're going to go in compromise. Ahab thought he can get away with it. He didn't. You're not either. Let's all stand together, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As Mark comes. Ask Him to pick out a song of invitation. I'll pray. If God has spoken to you, you come on. Father, bless the invitation time. If anyone needs to come, God, I pray You'd help them to do that tonight. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed. You trying to get around it? God's spoken. You know what He said, and you know it's the truth. But you're still going to go out there and do it anyway. You're not going to get around it, and you're not going to get away with it. You'll deal with the consequences, my friend. Nobody goes against God's word and prospers. Want your church to prosper, you better make sure they line up with the book. You want your family to prosper, you need to make sure we're lining up with the book. Nobody's got a special arrangement with God. God's not going against His word for anybody in this room. God is dealing with you about something, my friend, you need to take care of that. You need to humble yourself in obedience to the Word of God. Ask Him to play through one more verse. If no one else comes, we'll close.